I hope that all of you are encouraged in the Lord. I really do. You know, as we look at the news and hear the news and all of the things going on over there in Israel and our people thinking about getting, the Israelis having a problem because of all of the things that are against them and all of the things about our United States and our actions toward helping Israel and so forth. These are signs of the time. They're signs of the time. We have a Grace and Glory magazine in the back that has signs of the time in it, and that is speaking to us of things that portray and show us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. We believe that. We believe it. All of my life I've heard it. But I thank God that it's more real today to me than it ever was. Seeing what is happening in this world today, we know that the coming of Jesus is at hand. Praise the Lord. In our Bibles, we find that Paul and others of his day thought that Christ would come right then. They were looking for the coming of Jesus. That's why when we read the scripture of Apostle Paul, especially, and others too, we see so many often mentions of the coming of Jesus, of his return soon. That's what they were looking for. Now it's been over 2,000 years, and Jesus hasn't come back. But certain things in the Bible tell us that the time is at hand. And so praise the Lord for that. I passed out a sheet of paper that has some things on it that I think would be beneficial to you to read and study at home. They're things that we have studied for years and years and years about the signs of the different dispensations that God has dealt with. You know, starting out with Adam and Eve in the garden and their sin. They were in the age of innocence. Then when they came to know that they were in sin, they became into the age of conscience. And so what I'm asking you, I'm not going to go into all of that today. Many of us have had that Bible study several different times over the years that we've been here. We've been here for 42 years, going on 42 years now here in this place, and taught the lessons from the dispensational gospel, it's called, what God has dealt with in the past. If you have questions, you want to study that at home, you want to ask questions, you can either call me on the phone or you can call me right here. You can ask me to stay afterward and I'll explain to you what we're talking about. So my lesson today is warnings of Christ's coming and the end time, and we can see it. I want us to turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We know that Apostle Paul is called in the New Testament the Apostle of the Church Age. And in this book of the Thessalonians, most of you probably could tell me where Thessalonica is. Right now, it's in what is called Greece. And they were people who loved God, who Apostle Paul went and ministered to as a missionary. And there were people that really learned about the coming of Jesus. Even in their day, they were looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and be there with them. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to just look at some verses where Paul mentions and expresses the coming of the Lord. It's kind of amazing in one book to have this many references to Jesus Christ coming again. We're going to begin reading with chapter 1, verse 8. He's talking to them about and writing this letter to them and telling them about his thoughts, beginning with verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Now, the word sounded out, it's kind of interesting. In the Greek, it means to noise abroad. And in those days, they didn't have television or any of those kind of things. So they had to noise abroad the word of God. If they heard something from another minister, as God gave the Apostle Paul and others of the apostles, this was the way that it was spoken of. They sounded it out across the nation, not only in Macedonia and Achaia is Greece, Also, in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul, there was nothing that Paul felt like, well, I got to get them caught up on this truth or that truth, because these people took in the word of God immediately that was preached to them, and they were standing for the word of the truth of God, that Jesus Christ was going to come again. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These people were all idol worshipers in those areas where Apostle Paul began to spread the word of God. And they were born again, redeemed, and accept the salvation of the Lord and put down their idols and start walking with God. And notice now he says that how you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So these people were taught to wait for the Son from heaven. Jesus Christ is going to come back again. So the word wait, you know, in my lifetime, my father preached on the mark of the beast. I've told you this when I was 5 years old. And I heard that message, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I wanted salvation even at 5 years old. That's all we heard, actually, in our lives, prayers every day and all these things. But I tell you, it is so wonderful to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and to have this knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And, of course, this was A.D. 54. Praise the Lord. It's more than 2,000 years since then, and the Lord is coming. We want to learn to wait for the Son of God from heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we're going to turn now. Notice that what the rest of the verse, from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. What is the wrath to come? The Bible teaches it in Revelation and other places where Apostle Paul and other of the writers and even Jesus himself foretold it, that there's going to be great tribulation one of these days. And right now we can say we are on the footstep, on the ledge of stepping up into the tribulation of 7 years. The Bible says that when Israel is tried and tested and things, because Israel as a whole has not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I keep track of that, and I know that many of you do. The worldliness of most Israelites in Israel, only about a 1 to 2% believe in God and really trust in God in Israel. And they're the Old Testament type people. Now, there are believers now, and someone came up and said, did you hear about the revival that has been going on in Israel? Yes, I have. There are people that are really teaching Jesus Christ the Savior, and there are many, many people that are of the Israelite, the Jews, that are coming to know Jesus Christ. But this is warning to us of the nearness of the coming of Jesus. Now, turn in your Bible, same place where we were, over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, we're going to go to verse 18. First, Paul again speaking about the coming of Jesus Christ in verse 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy? Now, I like to tell you what meanings of words are as we go. The word hope in the Greek, we were reading in Greek, it means the joyful expectation. The joyful expectation. I hope that all of us here today have a hope in the Lord, that the Lord Jesus is going to come back to this earth like he said he was going to. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you in the heavens, and one of these days I will come again and take you unto myself. This coming of Christ is so imminent right now. And so he says, for there in verse 18, Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And what is our hope or joy of or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? See there? Jesus Christ told that his coming was going to happen way back there in 54 AD, AD 54. And so, but it was not any less the truth from God's word. And here we are all of this later time in history. And we look at the world around us. And I'm telling you, people, I'm not very happy with United States of America letting all these people come across the border down there as they are. I just recently found out, you know, a lot of them are Chinese, a lot of them are different groups of people from all over the world. They're not even checking to see where they are. They're just wandering around, going here and there. I mean, so what are we to do? We're to get on our knees and pray. That's what we need to do. We need to get on our knees and pray. God will save us and help us because we are in bad trouble. The United States has not been very, very attendant toward the things of God. And it's gotten worse lately, much worse. People are not as interested in going to church or seeking after the things of God. But I'm telling you, the time is at hand. Jesus Christ is going to come again. And he is going to show this at his presence when he comes again. What joy and hope and rejoicing when he comes again. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 12. Again, Apostle Paul talking. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There's a time right now when God is preparing us to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. We need to all desire that in our lives. Lord, prepare me for your coming. Lord, help me to put you first in my life and yield my life completely to you because your coming is at hand, even at the door. And it's the promise of the Lord at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. The people from the past, the people from the future, all of the people of God will be in that presence with the Lord Jesus. Now let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 is a chapter that we love to read so much because it talks about Jesus Christ coming again. We're going to begin reading at this, at verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you may sorrow not as others which have no hope. The world is a mess. There are lots and lots of people who have no hope. Do you have hope in the Lord? Do you have faith in the Lord and his working, in what he is doing? Absolutely. We praise the Lord for the work of the Lord that he's doing in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. That you sorrow not even as others that have no hope. Don't be like the world. They don't have any hope. Things are bad. Things are getting worse in our economy and everything that we've got here going on in this United States and elsewhere. But our Lord is a faithful God. Notice in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those people who have also already, they're believers, they've given their life to the Lord, they've passed away in heaven with the Lord. Praise the Lord. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and those that are asleep in Jesus right now, God is going to bring with him. Praise the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And the word actually, see, King James and a lot of other writers, they interpreted what they said, and sometimes it doesn't quite give you the meaning. But the word prevent here actually should be precede. Precede, P-R-E-C-E-D-E, in the original here. And so it says that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. What is he referring to as being asleep? Those who have passed on. They're not in this life anymore. If they're in believers, they're in heaven. They're up there. So praise the Lord. Even so, them which also sleep with Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep, those who are laying waiting for the call. Come up, rise up from your grave and come on. Of course, their spirit is with the Lord already. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What comfort to know how bad things get. We still have Jesus. Jesus is still with us. He is faithful. He loves us. All we have to do is just say, Lord, help us. Help us. Praise the Lord. So many people in the world today, hungry, literally hungry, don't have enough food. All of the things you hear on the news, you know, please donate, please donate. Things are going to get worse before they get better. But we believe that the coming of Jesus for those who are watching and looking for him is going to be right away, very, very soon. Of course, I've heard this all my life. You've probably heard it all your life, too. But we don't know exactly. We can't say it's going to be on July 15th or something like that. We don't know when it's going to be. We know that the Word of God teaches that it's going to happen. And when we see the things happening in this world, the Bible says this, then look up because the day of the Lord is at hand. He's coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to chapter 5. And we're going to just read a few verses here. In the first verse of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When it says day of the Lord, it means the day that the Lord Jesus reigns. That's what it means. God the Father is on the throne. Jesus the Son is right there sitting by the Father right now at the right hand of God, the scripture says. But when he comes back, when Jesus Christ comes back, he will be coming back to get on the day of the Lord. He'll come back as a thief in the night. And a lot of people will not even be aware that he came. They won't even be aware. They don't know Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's so important to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Not just our Savior, but our Lord. That means we let him rule our life. He governs our life. And oh, what a joy it is to walk with Jesus. What a joy it is to walk with the Lord and see his and feel his presence with us all the time. Praise the Lord. Now notice in verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Praise the Lord. This travail upon a woman with child is what is known in the Bible as the tribulation time. There should be 7 years of tribulation that will come upon the earth. Apostle Paul knew that, and he spoke that by the Holy Spirit's power, enabling him to know that is going to happen one of these days. Praise the Lord. So if it comes to the point where the bigwigs of all the nations say finally, everything's going to be fine. We got it all figured out, and everybody's going to obey the rules, and we're going to be fine. They're going to say peace and safety, peace and safety. But it's not going to last. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to have his total way. He's going to do everything he desires. He's going to root out people he doesn't like, kill them, in other words, and other things. But, oh, Lord, we are going to be with the Lord. There are different groups of people that will appear to the Lord up in heaven at different times. Overcomers, those who are yielding to God, will go first. And after that, others will go. Even 144,000 Jews that will believe in Jesus will be raised up to the heavens there with the Lord. It's a precious thing, isn't it? Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in the darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Praise the Lord. He has not appointed us to the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation that are going to be upon the earth. Praise God. Let's read verse 23. And you can read all of these again at home. Praise the Lord. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That to sanctify means separate you from the world, separate you from the things that are defeating, and give you victory. And he says to sanctify you wholly, and it's not H-O-L-Y, it's W-H-O-L-O-Y. And the word actually means completely. Let the Lord sanctify. What is sanctify? Separate is one meaning of the to sanctify something. I separate this to the Lord. That's what sanctification means. The Lord wants us to be separate from the world and from all the junk and all the stuff and all this stuff, and yield our lives completely to the Lord and let him be number one in our life. He says, I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love verse 24. You know, we read that verse 23 and we say, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do it? How are you going to work on me enough, Lord, that I will change and start really yielding my life to God? How is that going to happen? Because we know ourselves pretty well, you know. But the next verse tells us the answer. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. What is God going to do? He's going to work in our lives. He's going to speak to our hearts for us to yield our lives to God. Be yielded the best life there is in the world. All of us have had troubles in life. All of us have had things that we just think, how on earth could we ever, ever have gotten over? But God is always there. He is always there. He is so faithful. He's always working in our life. He brings circumstances to speak to us. He is faithful in that. And he's called you who also will do it. He has done the calling, but he's doing the work also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, how much we love Jesus. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. Yes, that's what the Spirit of God has said, that the times of the latter times upon this earth are going to be that many will depart from the faith. We're finding that out in the United States right now. If you've seen the news lately, it grieves my heart to see the young people in the colleges go out and start yelling and screaming and all the stuff that they're lying about. The devil has clutched them, and they are listening to the devil. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it? The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. So this is the latter times, referring to the ending days of this age. I gave you a little chart. One of the areas that, if you'll study this and look, if you haven't seen what is called the dispensations, we live in the era or the dispensation of the grace of God. God is being so gracious. It's been over 2,000 years, and he's just still saying, come to me and believe in me, and I will give you peace. I will give you deliverance. He's saying that. This world is still, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. But the word says that some are going to depart from the faith, and they're going to take heed to the seducing spirits. I like to look up things, what they mean. You know that. So the word seducing that we see in our English Bible means a raving spirit. Who are the raving spirits in the world? Old satanic things, aren't they? The devil is always working to try to defeat the plan of God. He cannot do that. He cannot do that. But he does get in a foothold in some people's lives. They forget to really yield their life to the Lord, and they walk after their flesh and get into things that are really, really difficult, that are just horrible things. But praise God that we have victory in the Lord. All error of the word of God is propagated by the devil. He's that seducing spirit. You know, we hear some people say, well, what the Bible says is this, and that's not really what the Bible even says, you know. So there is a truth in the word of God, a definite truth from the word of God. That's why we try to teach from the word of God, not from man's thoughts or what somebody figured out umpteen years ago, but try to go exactly by the word of God. It's important. So all error is propagated by Satan, especially humanism, especially New Age teaching, and all of the other things that are against the truth of God's word. He says, speaking hypocrisy. It means a seared conscience. To be something that they are not. There are a lot of people that way, that are even religious, that represent something that they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know the word of God. They don't, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's true. You can listen to people on the radio or the television or whatever, and you can see they're not preaching the word of God, the truth of God's word. They're preaching something else totally. And the word of God says that this is going to happen in the last day. Look at 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Here we are again with those words that Apostle Paul said, in the last days. In the last days. In Paul's day, it seems like it was bad enough. I mean, there were false teachers that were going around after he would go and establish something. The false teachers would come and try to totally destroy the work. But look at how many thousands of years now we have been going on this way. Many, many, many people and religions that think that they're all it, you know, they're the ones that understand everything. So this 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also. So there's some things we're supposed to know. If you don't know, you better get on board and start knowing what is right. What is truth in the word of God? Let it be something you do know. And know also that in the last days, this means the days that are toward the end of time. Time is about up. We're almost to the end of time. Perilous time shall come. The word means dangerous. It means loss of strength and troublesome. I don't know how it could get worse right now. But this shows us how we are living in the last day. We live in it. Just look at the things happening in the U.S. where people go in and break into stores and just take what they want, including diamonds and everything else. And the clerk is supposed to just stand there or else leave or something and let the people go ahead and take it, you know. I don't understand those kind of things. Maybe you don't either. I just don't understand. What we are going through in the United States is dangerous, it's difficult, it's furious. Those are other words. It's fierce to have this kind of thing going on in our world. And I don't have much time more to read you a lot of things, but I'll go ahead and read you the greatest problem, and that's verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's one of the biggest problems, you men. It's not just talking about the male species. It's talking about mankind. This is the way that the world is going. Mankind, they are lovers of their own self. They're going to please their own self. It doesn't matter what God says or what the Word says, or they don't even like to read that anymore. And it says they are covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, they're truth breakers, they're false accusers, they're incontinent. It doesn't mean they wet the bed. It means that they are not in the right attitude toward the things of God, the steadfastness of the things of God. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I think that's one thing that the world has really caught on to, is to put the things of man ahead of the things of God. I'm warning you, don't do that. Be sure that you put God's things first. In your life, you'll never, never regret it. God is so, so faithful. He meets all of our needs. He's just right there watching over us constantly. He deserves all of our praise. He deserves everything. Praise the Lord. And verse 4, traitors, haters, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. There are many, many denominations that deny the power of God. And it's sad. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe that God can perform miracles. That's all for way back there sometime when the apostles were here. That's what they teach. That's wrong. It's not according to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. There's so much more here that I would recommend you read probably the rest of this chapter at home if you haven't read it recently. But I'm telling you, we are living in the last day. Praise the Lord. In verse 5, it says they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But he says, from such turn away. And in the Amplified Version, some of you use the Amplified Version. I like to occasionally. This Amplified Version says, for although they hold a form of piety or true religion, they say it's true, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. That's what it says there. Turn away from them when you read it in the Amplified Version. Praise the name of Jesus. What are we going to do? We're going to turn away from those that are evil, that are so far off the beam on the scripture and everything else that they don't even recognize. In my experience as a child, I got to go to a church that I'd never gone to before in my life, and I was so amazed because I had never been to a very, very I don't know how you say it, a church like that. I never had been there. Everything was red. There was no real preaching. There was no altar call. There was nothing spiritual. And I remember sitting there thinking, I've never heard anything like this before in my life. But the sad thing is that there are a lot of people that do that. A lot of people that don't really study the Word of God and follow the Scripture and follow what God is trying to say to us.